We are back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. It's our first Thursday of the month. And usually on the first Thursday of the month, we have NBAF, and then we have Perry Wiggins joining us here. And he is here once again, the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. And it's always good to chat with you, General Wiggins. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks, Brandon. I always appreciate being here as well.
Are you home in Chapman today?
I'm home in Chapman, and the temperatures seem to be overcast and not quite as hot as it's been in the past, so that's pretty nice.
I have to ask, because Chapman's not too far from Abilene. Are you going to be heading out to the rodeo or any of that fair this week?
I am, the free fair. I got grandkids in town, and they love animals, and so I thought it'd be a perfect opportunity to put them in the vehicle and drive over to Abilene and spend the day looking at some of the shows and some of the rodeo events. So yeah, we're going to do that. We did it last year and had a great time. And so we're looking forward to getting back there.
All right. Sounds good. Abilene's a great place to be this time of year. And, it's a shame. Unfortunately, COVID's impacting so much because, I'd love to go back to the Eisenhower, library and museum again, at some point. I think they still have part of it closed if I'm not mistaken, but, that's such a gem in our state. Right there.
Yeah, we talked about it the last time I was on and how, yep. You know, a number of people here in Kansas need to take pride in the fact that they're, you know, probably the only state that's produced, you know, a 5-star general and a president. And you know, every time I drive down I-70, I'm absolutely amazed at the caliber of individuals that come out of Kansas. I mean, you can see the hometowns, small hometowns, of astronauts spotted along I-70 as you go down, and then a president, a 5-star general. You know, Kansas is impressive, and the education systems here in Kansas produce some exceptional individuals that have really served our nation well.
Yep, you bet. I almost think, and maybe this is a little Kansas bias showing here, but, you know, if they were going to redo Mount Rushmore today, I think Eisenhower would have to go up there, don't you?
I would agree with you. You know, as a patriot and a selfless servant to the nation, I think he'd be an incredible candidate for Mount Rushmore. You know, having just visited there, that's an impressive sight itself. And but yeah, no, I agree. I truly agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a lot going on here in the world of this pandemic, and it just doesn't seem to go anywhere here. We've a little over a year and a half into it now. Just about, and I'll have to ask you, what are some of the changes that Fort Riley has implemented since we last spoke?
Well, you know, as we've talked, and you know, the commanding general out there at Fort Riley, this is a real juggling act for him, and he always has to keep in mind his primary mission, which is to maintain readiness to fight and win our nation's war. So all the soldiers out there, he has to keep safe, And so in a cautious note, he's, I think, updated his policy letter, General Order Number 12, which requires individuals, whether you're immunized or not, if you come onto the installation and you go inside a building, you have to be masked up. And that's, you know, I think that's something that the commanding general doesn't take lightly. He understands the decisions he makes out there on Fort Riley and how it impacts communities. But he has a moral obligation to the nation to make sure that he does right by the nation and the soldiers that serve with him, that they're protected. So I think you're going to see in the Department of Defense a number of initiatives that are going to take place. I think there's possibly going to be an announcement this Friday by the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, that they're going to mandate immunizations. Been spoken about. I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but that's what I've been told might be announced on Friday, this Friday. And if that is done, then, you know, soldiers will be required to go and get their immunizations.
You know, people hear the word mandate, and a lot of folks don't like hearing that word. They don't like the idea of being told that they have to do something. And I don't know if we'd have 100% compliance there with even some of the soldiers, do you think that's a possibility?
Well, I know in Desert Storm, we had a lot of different shots that we were mandated to take for our protection, protecting the force. And I can tell you, Brandon, even back then, we had a few soldiers that did not want to get the immunizations that were required to deploy during Desert Storm. And those particular individuals were chaptered out of the Army. You know, the bottom line is, soldiers as a collective, the reason we protect the force, we call it the force, individuals can't on their own volition, they can unilaterally impact the organization. And so we have to make sure that we protect the whole. And in this particular case, if shots are required or pills like in Desert Storm were required in order to keep the force protected and soldiers did not want to do it, then yes, in some cases they get chaptered out. We'll see in this particular case how that's handled. I know there's a lot of lawyers out there right now probably pulling their hair out, trying to figure out if it's legal, not legal, can you do it? And all that will be adjudicated at a much higher place than DA Sims out there at Fort Riley. It'll come out of the Pentagon, of course, and then they'll make a decision, and the president will have to endorse that, of course. We'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, I've seen where soldiers make unilateral decisions not to do something, and it results in them being removed from the profession.
Well, it'd be interesting to watch. And the one thing I don't understand is why some of these announcements get made on a Friday. I've never been a fan of, especially like at 4 o'clock on a Friday, they come out with an announcement like that and it just gets buried in the news. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why they do it, Brandon. You just answered your own question. You know, they do it because it gets buried right over a weekend. People have a tendency to be out in boats, doing outside things, not paying much attention to the television or the radio. And they're hoping that something else picks up by Monday. You know, for me, these are important decisions that are made and things that we ought to get into dialogue about. And we ought to have hard discussions about, because critical thinking is absolutely important to our nation and the development of our nation. And in some cases, I think we're so polarized, unfortunately, along some political lanes that we can't sit down and have an intellectual discussion about hard challenges and issues facing our nation today.
Yeah, and there's so much information out there, and I don't know, I get a little information overload myself sometimes, and I just got to go take a break and just go, well, you know, watch a cartoon or something just to get my mind clear, just, you know, something like that, because you hear, you know, one day it's this, and then one day it's this, and then you get the ups and downs of the news cycle, and yeah, sometimes you just want to check out.
Well, that's the case. And I'll tell you, a lot of our veterans out there, some of them sitting probably listening today, they know that there's been decisions made when they were in the cloth of the nation out there that was made for the good of the profession, the organization, the institution, not the individual. You know, a lot of times we try to appease the individual, and in an organization like the Army, that doesn't necessarily work. I mean, we have seen sports organizations out there that have superstars that think that they are more important than the team, and it's at the team's detriment. Well, when you do that in sports, you end up walking off the court, probably losing a game. You can brush yourself off and pick yourself back up. But in the Army, it results in really the loss of life and something extremely serious. And so, in this particular case, leaders got to make hard decisions. They've done it throughout the history of the Army and the military, and we'll continue to do that, I think.
Yeah. Well, and you get, not only do we have the soldier population there at Fort Riley, you got a lot of civilians out there as well.
Absolutely. You know, we have a lot of people. Fortunately for D.A. Sims and his team out there, the 1st Infantry Division and Fort Riley, they've got a generally younger population and a healthier population. The concern is, and his one of his concerns is he's got to keep those guys safe. That's true, and healthy. But at the same time, he doesn't want those individuals to impact communities, which a lot of times are folks that are up in age They have illnesses. And we have to, as a society, in my opinion, we have to look out for the welfare of our elderly and those that are sick, just as we would look out for ourselves. So that's one of the reasons I think that DA Sims is implementing some of these policies out there at Fort Riley, as well as keeping soldiers safe.
All right. We're talking with General Perry Wiggins here, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, on In Focus. We have to pay some bills, so we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll continue our conversation after the break here on News Radio KMAN.